Small business, big advice. Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast, where small business owners, employees, or just marketing fanatics can learn how to grow a business on a budget without wasting any money.
Welcome to the Very Good Marketing Podcast. My name is Shannon, and today's episode is all about turning visitors into leads, which is the next stage in the Very Good Marketing framework. And joining me today, I have Amy Miosevich, small business marketing consultant and expert, and Cindy Orr, the best small business marketing website developer in Australia. So introduce yourselves.
Thanks for the beautiful intro.
You're welcome.
Cindy is a member of the Lumos marketing team, and Cindy's been building amazing websites for the last, I guess, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And along the way, we've learned quite a lot about websites, and that is why we're here today, because we are talking about turning visitors into leads, and the website, or your business website, is normally the place where this is all going to happen. So I wanted to start by maybe asking a few questions to you guys, if you wouldn't mind doing that, me the honor. Mm-hmm. And this is a really great place to start, because so many small businesses and micro businesses, they approach this idea of having a website as their marketing strategy. Do you guys agree with that sometimes?
Yes.
I know Cindy gets that. The website is it. Your whole marketing budget goes to your website. And it's a really big problem. You see it quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah, they just rely on the website to do everything for them, pretty much.
Yeah.
Leads, the product, the service, it all just goes through the website, and there's nothing else branched out from that.
Yeah.
So they don't focus on like social media aspect, or they don't focus on like building a relationship with their customer.
Yeah.
Whereas the email marketing and the automations to like get in contact with them, or like keeping them updated,
yeah,
with like new products or services.
None of it's built in.
No, none of that is built in. And
they also don't often have a way for discovery. So there is no way for strangers to actually find the website as well. So often we work with, you know, a lot of clients that'll build a website and then just assume that people will just cut find it.
Yeah.
Is it because, and I feel like it's because people are stuck on, like, it's almost like 20 years old, that frame of mind. That,
yeah.
Because it was like websites were the new shiny thing. And it's like we've only, like, we as a society, I guess, have only just kind of caught up to being like, I want a great website.
Yeah.
I know that I need a great website, but technology and marketing, and we've got social media now, and like everything's moved so fast.
Yeah.
But people are really only just now wrapping their head around what a good website looks like. So it's like, we've nailed the website.
Yeah.
And then we're like, oh, you need to nail a bit more now. And
yeah.
I think it's just, yeah, like that's how quickly the times have changed, and that's how slow it is for people to kind of catch up.
Yep, definitely. Like there's actually like statistics around how many small businesses or micro businesses don't have a website at all. And a lot of the time it's because they don't see value in one, or maybe because they think they can't afford it. And that's kind of one of the things that I think is what I've learned over the last few years. And I don't know if Cindy, you're the same, but there are so many things that come with the topic of websites that I want to make sure we can talk about today, so that we can bust a few myths that come with what is a website, what are the different options, how much are you expected to pay. And then what we can do is over the next couple of weeks, we can dive into what ingredients actually make a good website, so you kind of know what that looks like. But I want to start by, I guess, busting some myths around what your website is for. So how many people, and Cindy, you know this answer, but Shannon, I don't think you do, so don't.
Probably not.
Websites, you've attracted your strangers and they've come to your website. Percentage-wise, what do you think a good percentage on your website is for people inquiring? So someone's come to your website and they've inquired, they've called, they've submitted a contact form, that kind of thing. So what do you think a good rate for that is?
I'm just going to say 20%.
Okay. So, Cindy, what do you think?
Probably lower.
Yes, like, definitely lower.
Maybe like 5%.
Yeah, it's like if you were getting a 5% conversion rate on your website, like you're doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So on average, you'd probably be seeing around 3-5%. And it's actually a lot lower than you think. Now, really good websites like Cindy's websites, they convert a little bit higher. So, but
maybe that's why my standards are so high.
But for a lot of companies, the conversion rate for your website is actually a lot lower than you think. And there are definitely ways of improving it. And lots of the changes that we'll go through over the next few weeks are actually quite small. But here's a really interesting fact. A lot of businesses don't actually have a way for people to get in touch with them on their website.
My partner was actually whinging about this to me the other day because a lot of the time he has to contact businesses with invoices and things like that, and he constantly calls because there's no email address on their website. Yeah. And a few people have actually said like, oh, you can just email that to me. And he has started to say now, well, I would have if your email address was on your website.
Yeah.
And so it's really funny. And he doesn't work in this industry. He works completely different administrative job. Yeah. But it's really funny because it causes problems in all kinds of different senses.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think, and I'm not going to point fingers, but a lot of the clients that come in and meet us don't really think about that stuff because they have an online presence now, which is so much better than maybe what they had before they even had a website, which I think is great. But imagine paying all this money for a website and not having a way for customers to get in contact and not even hitting that basic 3-5% conversion rate. Yeah. So that, I guess, brings me to the next topic. How much do websites cost? Shannon, what do you think?
Well, we've had conversations about
okay,
it.
Okay.
But I have come from previous jobs and part of my role was to maintain a website and to pay developers to do work on our website. And I know that they cost tens of thousands of dollars build and to maintain, to update.
Yeah.
So I would say ballpark, I'd put maybe 60 to 70K towards building a website and then a little bit of maintenance of that website.
And look, that's absolutely fair. And I've come across heaps of examples like that before. So Cindy, tell me, what is the cheapest website you've ever built? Here at Lumos Marketing?
Like a full rebuild would probably be like 500 to a grand.
Yeah.
As like a small, very small one.
Yep. So that's something that I think is really interesting, and I'd love to talk about this more, but the disparity between costs when it comes to websites is, and it must be so overwhelming for businesses all across Australia and across the world. Like, that is a massive difference in price. Mm. Massive. And yes, there are websites that are bigger, some that are smaller, some come with copywriting, some come with design, some are e-commerce, but that is a massive difference.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree?
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, like, for my particular example, a lot of the copy and content was actually developed internally within our business.
Yeah.
So that was literally just developing and creating the framework. So it is compared to what we do here, it is so different, like the level of service and the level of care.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd love to spend a bit of time then talking about what goes into a website and why there is a bit of a difference. So are you guys happy for me to just take the lead on this one?
Go
you
for
guys
it.
Can. Jump in if you want to add, because I know, Cindy, it's important as well that I get your opinion on why you think the way we do things is a little bit cheaper, so that people know that, you know, there are companies that do what we do as well, but do charge more. So so when it comes to websites, there are lots of different ways of building a website. There's been a big trend over the last 10 years in like this DIY website market. So you've got like Wix and Squarespace and Shopify, those kind of platforms that own the hosting. So they own the space online that your website lives, but they have this drag and drop website builder element to it where you as a small business owner or founder can actually go in and create your own website, which is fantastic. And it's made this kind of whole process a lot more accessible. And with the right education and tools, you can create a really amazing website, but at what cost? And I always have to stress when I meet someone that goes, oh, I'll just build it. I go, well, that could take you 100 hours. 100 of your hours, which is worth quite a lot more when you think about it. Like, what is the opportunity cost of investing your own time into building a website? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely something I always think about. Yes, you might be paying $40 a month, but you spend 100 of your hours, which would be better spent somewhere else. And I think that's something that's come with this DIY industry kind of thing. But you could be paying as little as $30 a month. I think Squarespace costs like $30 a month. Mm-hmm. And with a few extra bits and pieces that you might need, you might be paying as little as that. And that's probably one of the very cheapest options that you can have when it comes to building a website. Then what you have is you've got this other end of the scale, which is like what you were talking about, Shannon, which is a website that's built from scratch. And a website that's built from scratch is the same way you would build like a program. And you may use a certain website platform. You may even build it completely from scratch. You might have it managed by a CMS, like a content management system like WordPress or Drupal, or what are some of the other ones they have there? Drupal, Ruby.
I think WordPress is the most popular CMS platform.
I think it's the biggest in the world.
Yeah.
And then you've obviously got Shopify as well, which you can custom develop within their parameters and their unique language. So when you're building something from scratch, you're not just designing the website look and feel. You're actually designing how every element works. So there are certain actions that get built in. So if you imagine a $50,000 website build, there could be 5,000 hours used to build that site. Or 500 hours or whoever's building it for you. And that's really what's gone into that process. And that's the difference. It's really, I guess, what it's made of. But does that make the website any less effective for a user?
Mm.
What do you guys think?
Not necessarily.
No.
I think it's a weird one, isn't it?
Mm.
Because a lot of the time, if you are putting the same content forward on a DIY platform like Squarespace, or you're getting it custom designed, you could really end up with the same kind of thing, especially when the clients are looking at it. And if you've got a customer that's come to, you know, send an invoice, mm-hmm. or you've got someone looking to inquire, the actual quality of what's behind the site or what it's made of isn't more important than what you're actually saying and how the information's laid out.
Mm-hmm.
I
think how the information is laid out is huge.
Yeah, definitely.
Which I think when people sometimes tackle their own website, they might not necessarily have the best framework in mind for how that information is going to be laid out. And I think as well, like for someone who works in a particular industry, they might think that the most important information for them to have front and center on their website is, you know, their service delivery and what they do. And they might find that having their prices or their contact details or their booking system or something, it could be really hard to find because they haven't really, in their mind, it might not be the priority. Whereas for a customer or someone who needs to employ them for those services, that is the priority. They want to know how to book.
They want to know, don't want to know how many years they've been around.
A huge thing for me as a consumer is if I'm booking a service, for example, say I want to get my hair done and I find a hairdresser and it's great and their website is great. I can see their price list, blah, 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 but there's no booking system. I will actually be put off and I won't book.
Yep.
And yeah, they might have their phone number or they might have an email address, but a lot of the time, especially now, you want to be able to just do your booking and not pick up the phone. So
you use so much brain power when you're on a website just to like figure out how to get in contact with them and how to get their like products and services.
Definitely.
A lot of the times when a small business owner is setting up their own website with their own like website platform, they're not really thinking from a customer perspective.
Yeah.
They're really just...
Well, the technology is overwhelming. Yeah. So often it's a case of learning the technology and that's what takes up
all
of your time. And so there is an advantage. You might be paying the $50,000, but at least you get that kind of advice, I guess. And that's something to factor in as well. But over the next couple of weeks, we are going to go through exactly how to build the website. So I can't imagine that... that there will be much disparity between the two prices in terms of the outputs or the outcomes for the clients. But when you are kind of going down the process of getting a website built, often you'll be able to get the same result with these disciplines in place, regardless of who you went to and what you needed. Which is such a controversial opinion. Mm. Like, how dare a $30 a month website be the same as a $50,000 website? It's something that I think we've had to learn the hard way, where we have underquoted on projects and lost to other companies, even though our product we believe is the same, if not better. And that's just because we build websites slightly differently. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'll give you an example. So we kind of, obviously we're not at that end, and Cindy explained that, you know, we've built websites before for $500 to $1,000. We sit around the $5,000-$6,000 mark. That's probably our most expensive kind of price point. And what we do to try and make the process sit within that budget is we use WordPress, just like a bigger web developer does. But you can buy a theme for a website that has all the actions pre-built. So then what you're really doing is all of our time isn't spent writing the actions. It's actually spent assembling the content in a way that's easy to understand and putting in all these techniques we're going to go through next week in a way that makes the website convert at 3-5% or higher. And that's kind of, and there are lots of companies that go about it that way. Some will write their own themes. But a lot of the time you can buy a theme. I think the theme that we like the most, our clients buy for, I think it's $60.
Yeah.
So, and then they engage us to assemble it for them. So that kind of process ends up being a lot cheaper, I think, for a lot of businesses. But then it's also a lot more expensive than other website developers. And then obviously you have the cost of labor. So building a website is all about labor. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people in countries where labor is a lot cheaper, they pay a lot less or they charge a lot less for websites. But it obviously, again, comes with concessions. You won't have the local support and someone to help you create a website that converts.
Mm-hmm.
Or you might. I mean, it just depends on who you hire. But that's the kind of thing that that I guess you have to consider when it comes to websites. So if you've ever kind of gotten two really big quotes and the difference between them is quite significant, it's not often because the product that you end up with is better or worse. It's really to do with the way the product is being assembled. So you should be really in control of what kind of things you want on your website. And a lot of the time, you have to be. So you mm-hmm. gave me that example just earlier, like you guys were responsible for assembling the content, and a lot of businesses are.
Mm-hmm.
So a web developer often will do the design and assembly for you, the actions and bits and pieces like that, but they often won't do the design, the copywriting, they won't build in the conversion techniques, and they rely on their clients do that. They rely on small businesses and micro businesses to send them through the content.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I think a lot of businesses are missing out on things like call to action buttons or contact forms, why they might be getting conversion rates that are lower than 3%. It's because how would you know?
Mm-hmm.
How would you know what sections you want on a website? How would you know what features to ask the developer to include? How would you know what kind of contact forms you need? It's quite kind of crazy, isn't it? Like, it's crazy how even big web development agencies that charge that kind of money still put the pressure on the client to actually tell them how they want to build a high converting website.
Yeah.
So you tell me, what do you want on your website? Like, it's a very interesting thing. And often a lot of the time, I don't think conversion is discussed in website development conversations. I think everyone just talks about design.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a bit about design, because I know, Cindy, we do a bit of design work, but there has been a lot of times in the past where we've been asked to do design and we believe something looks great, but the client has prioritized design over conversion.
Yes.
Yep.
Where do I start? I guess a lot of the influence really comes from like Pinterest.
Yeah.
And looking at other people's sites and being like, design wise, I just want it to look exactly like theirs. Not taking into account like that, whether it fits with their business and their business objectives and goals. And if it's like going to fit their like audience and yeah. website visitors as well. Or they're looking is just aesthetics. I like colors, the typography, the images, but is this really going to convert
mm-hmm.
the website visitor into leads? I really don't think so.
Yeah.
We've
had a lot of hard conversations over the last few years where well, obviously, you know, we're happy to help in any way we can, and that's obviously our job is only to advise, and it's not our website at the end of the day, but we could put two exact websites side by side, one where the design has been finessed within an inch of its life and one where the basic conversion techniques have been employed, and ours will always perform better. just because that's the reality of it. But again, like a website is a physical representation of a business, and design is such a visual part of that. I mean, you think about tools like social media and how when things look nice, they release some kind of like cortisone thing in your brain, right? Yeah. That makes you think, oh gosh, that looks nice. Different thing to being persuaded to buy.
I think as well, because I observe you guys a lot in consulting with clients. I am, and I see the amount of time that it takes to amend the aesthetics based on every little tiny preference.
I can give you some examples.
And I think sometimes, and this is specific to launching a website, so not necessarily maintaining a website, but a client's come to us and they want to build a website from scratch. They don't have one to start with. This is their first website. I think what sometimes the client might lose sight of is all these things, like the font and the color. I mean, in general, it can all be amended once the site has gone live. So I think sometimes people lose sight of the immediate goal versus the long-term goal. And I think sometimes what we probably wish we could say, and what I wish I could say when I hear you guys talking about it, is they just need to get it up and running. Like they just need to get something out there, and they need to get their they need to start turning their visitors into leads, and that's the goal of this website. And to waste weeks and weeks, or sometimes months and months, delaying that website going live because the spacing of the menu items isn't correct, or the size of a particular image on a particular page is wrong, or not even wrong, but it just doesn't suit this particular person's preferences, or the list goes on and on. But I think sometimes they lose that sight of they just need something to start with.
I feel like it's back to where we started before, when we were mentioning the whole marketing and the grand scheme of things. They only just think about website and it's only it. Whereas within the website, they only think it's just like the design.
Yeah.
That's the only section about the website. Not taking into account the content and the story about the business that you're trying to tell, how you're going to solve like their problems,
the call to actions.
Authority indicators and what value you're bringing to the customers. But also more the technical stuff that that is part of the larger website project as well. When a website visitor lands on the